reading is from Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
Well, we've been looking at the subject of marriage over the last 4 weeks, and today we're going to look at marriage in terms of its challenges. How do we face the winds of adversity? The next 2 weeks, we're going to look at conflict in marriage, the do's and the don'ts in marital conflict. And then we're going to take a bit of a break over the Christmas season, and then in the new year, we're going to look at parenting, and then we're going to look at growing old in marriage, that particular season of the sunset years in marriage. And then that's going to complete our study, our series in marriage. You know, marriage is God's idea. We've already said that. The first wedding ever performed was done by God. It was an outdoor wedding in a garden. And God made the groom, and then he took one of his ribs and made a woman and walked her down the aisle. He brought her to the man, Genesis 2:22 says. The idea, God's idea, was monogamy. One wife with one husband in a lifelong commitment. And they will become one flesh, Genesis 2:24. Proverbs 24:3-4 says, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. The great Scottish preacher Peter Marshall, who became the chaplain of the U.S. Senate, once defined marriage. He said, marriage is not a federation of two sovereign states, but it is a union, domestic, social, spiritual, and physical. It is the fusion of two hearts, the union of two lives. It is the coming together of two tributaries who, after being joined together, will flow in the same channel, in the same direction, carrying the same burdens of responsibility and obligations. Marriage is a oneness, divine and indivisible. Security in marriage occurs when two people, a husband and wife, are rightly together. Today, until death do us part, is no longer a vow. It's an irony. No longer is it as long as we both shall live. It's as long as we both shall love. The Vanier Institute revealed that in Canada, 40% of first marriages end in divorce. George Barna's research organization revealed some startling statistics. And although they are American statistics, I do not believe that they're radically different in Canada by percentage. Of all marriages, 33% will end in divorce. And 79% of those will remarry. And then 50% of those will divorce again. In some countries in this world, divorce is rare. While in North America, one half of all the divorces in the entire world will occur here. One English visitor to the United States commented, "The increasing divorce rate is rapidly making America the land of the free." To which his American companion responded, "Yes, but remember the marriage statistics are increasing too. That shows America is still the home of the brave." If 33% of all airplanes that took off from Calgary crashed, how many of you would fly? There would be a major inquiry. The province of Alberta would be building a 4-lane highway in all directions of the compass. The institution of marriage is facing a storm that threatens its very life. A happy marriage is becoming increasingly rare and increasingly harder to maintain. Couples approach marriage bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, saying, "We're the ones." They come to the marriage altar because we love each other. They enter marriage with eyes that see it as ideal. And a little time, it becomes an ordeal. And soon they are both wishing for a new deal. One writer says, "It's not marriage that fails, it's people that fail. All that marriage does is show people up." Marriage is not child's play. It is serious business. Socrates once quipped, "By all means marry. If you get a good wife, you will become very happy. If you get a bad one, you'll become a philosopher. And that is good for any man." Now, Matthew 7 gives us some good advice on how we can strengthen our homes and weather the storms that threaten our marriage. How then do we stand in a storm? Verse 24 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock." The first thing we must do is to build our house, our marriage, upon the rock. That rock, of course, is Jesus Christ. When young people marry, they need to prepare for it. They need to read a little, explore marriage, and adequately prepare for it and take it seriously. Just because you love someone doesn't mean you have to marry them. If that was the case, I'd have a lot of wives in this church. But above all, we need to be certain that we are spiritually compatible. Put God first and marry someone who also puts God first. Pray for your mate today, even though you may be years from meeting him or her, and God will bring you together. And that also goes for us as parents who have children who are of marrying age. We need to remember that it is what God has joined together, Matthew 19:6 says. God has a role in bringing young people together for marriage, and we need to trust him to do that. So put God first. There's a Russian proverb that says, "Before going to sea, pray once. Before going to war, pray twice." You know what's coming. "Before getting married, pray three times." And then secondly, in verse 25, we read, "The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock." If we are to manage the monsoons in our marriages, we must recognize that rain will fall. Not may fall, but will fall. And every marriage will be tested. So the only question left is, will it be rust-proof? We live in a culture that will test even the strongest of marriages. Paul exhorts Timothy that in the last days we will see these tests. 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 to 4 says, "People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." A thorough list. Our culture is one of unbridled license. We face the deluge of independent spirits, alternate lifestyles, radical feminism, materialism, and self-centeredness as the rains that fall, which are the signs of our times. We face the reins of humanism, saying me first rather than we first. Jesus Christ has called us to servanthood, to wash each other's feet, to be selfless rather than selfish. Yet we face the attitude, I'll do what's best for me, rather than I'll do what's best. The disciple of Jesus is one who is disciplined. The whole purpose of marriage is not primarily to make us happy, but to make us holy. Happiness is the byproduct. Like an elusive butterfly that can't be caught. But when we leave it alone, it lands on our shoulder. One pastor summarizes this by saying, any situation in terms of spiritual formation that causes us to confront our selfishness has enormous spiritual value to cause us to be what God wants us to be. Marriage, just like the sandpaper that smooths out the rough surface, is the discipline by which God recalibrates our hearts into His image. It is a means by which we mature and grow up. So we also face the reins of materialism. Donald Trump, in all of his conquests in business and economics, says of the one thing he was unable to do, quote, I haven't been able to have a successful marriage, unquote. John Paul Getty, in his lifetime, was one of the wealthiest men in the world, amassing a fortune in the billions. And he said, I'd give my entire fortune for a happy marriage. Hollywood is the heart and soul of the image industry in our culture, which consistently lets us know we don't have enough. Advertising's sole purpose is to cultivate discontent and a desire for more. My wife and I often look back in fond and thankful memory of the days when we had very little, because it was in those days when we truly found each other and our family was able to bond together. We learned to play, appreciate, and value those things that endure. The reign of materialism, will it rust your marriage? And then the reigns of hedonism, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world does not grant a true view of reality. And we need to get that clear in our thinking if our thinking is to be unimpeded. And hence our need for a solid foundation. The rains will fall and the streams will rise. In the streams of life, crisis. Your marriage will face crisis. And crisis strikes without warning. Statistically, the top 10 crises in a marriage are the death of a child, a jail sentence, an unfaithful partner, financial crisis, a business loss or being fired from a job, miscarriage, unexpected pregnancy, cancer, extended unemployment, and death of a family member. How will we manage that when it comes? And again, not if it comes, but when it comes. For starters, let's try this for a fit. Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze.
For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. When the streams rise, number one, rest in God's plan for your life. Number two, remember God's presence. He will never leave you or forsake you. And number three, rely on God's protection. In almost 2,000 years, Jesus has never failed any of his followers, and he isn't about to start with you. Over the years of my pastorate, I've seen some families take some pretty strong hits that to me seem unbearable. Terry and Tony lost their 6-year-old boy. He drowned. John lost his dear wife Donna while they had 2 small children. Another family lost their home and their 19-year-old son in a house fire. But God was there. He showed himself in those valleys. He is a faithful God. What gives a marriage such elasticity and such high water? The periodical Psychology Today asks that question, and it should be no surprise that their findings were quite biblical. A belief in marriage as a sacred institution, a binding vow and a long-term commitment, a willingness to be unhappy for a while, and a willingness to endure some tough times for a season. It is a verifiable fact of married life. You'll never have a fulfilling marriage if you believe there is a back door. If you believe there is a back door or a rear exit, you're likely to use it. Our covenant-keeping God tells us in Malachi 2:16, I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel, and I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as with his garments, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. But we also need to add here that the Lord Jesus is very tender to those who have suffered the pain of divorce. And one day we're going to look at that in Matthew when we study the Sermon on the Mount. One day a couple came to see their pastor about their marriage. And they said, it's over. It's hopeless. We don't love each other anymore. And we want a divorce. Is it okay? And the pastor said, well, you've already decided to divorce. You just want me to give endorsement to it. Then he said, the Bible says, love your wife as Christ loves the church. And the husband replied, well, I can't do that. So the pastor said, the Bible says, love your neighbor. And he replied, well, I can't do that either. So the pastor said, the Bible says, love your enemies. Now get out of here and get on with it. Now, I certainly wouldn't handle my counseling manners like that. And it is not to say that there are not some marriages in which it would be an act of health for them to dissolve. That is true. Even Scripture says that. But Jesus does not give us room to negotiate on love. Jesus says, my followers are lovers. My followers are people of a second chance. My followers are willing to lay down their lives for others. God hates the breaking of covenants. And so stand in and stand firm. The Lord will be with you. And then lastly, if we are to weather the storms in our marriage, we must manage the winds of change. Your beautiful bride, fellas, will one day get old. Your prince charming, ladies, will one day fill in the blank. Our marriages will change. We will change. The babies will come, they'll grow, and then they'll leave, and you'll be staring at each other alone all over again. So invest in each other. Marriage has seasons. One day a man fell in love with this beautiful opera singer, and he saw her on stage, and his heart was smitten by her beauty, her angelic voice, and her charm. And so he set out to woo her and to win her heart. And he was successful, and he married her. On their wedding night, she went into the bathroom, and she took off her wig, she took off her false eyelashes, her makeup, and she unstrapped her corset, and she came out into the bedroom. And he took one look at her, and he paused, and he said, "Sing, woman, quick, sing, sing, sing." Recognize that the monsoon of change is coming. Navigate ahead navigate ahead of time when they do. But the most important principle that ties these all together is in verse 24 of our text. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice." It is not just building on the rock. It is putting the words of Jesus into practice. If we took a straw poll and asked people, "What does it take to make a successful marriage?" I can guarantee the answer is not going to be a deep desire to fully believe and obey the revealed will of God. Our problem today is too many Christians are educated beyond their levels of obedience. A TV news camera crew was on assignment in southern Florida filming the widespread destruction of Hurricane Andrew. And in one scene amid the devastation and debris stood one house on its foundation. The owner was cleaning up the yard when a reporter approached him. "Sir, why is your house the only one still standing?" asked the reporter. "How did you manage to escape the severe damage of the hurricane?" "I built this house myself," the man replied. "I also built it according to the Florida State Building Code. When the code called for 2x6 roof trusses, I used 2x6 roof trusses. I was told that a house built according to code could withstand a hurricane. I did, and it did. I suppose no one else around here followed the code." David Culver summarizes by saying, "When the sun is shining and the skies are blue, building our lives on something other than the guidelines in God's word can be tempting. But there is a hurricane coming for everyone." Jesus says, in paraphrase, "My followers are obedient. My followers are servants, willing to sacrifice, trust, forgive, and care for one another, to be proactive, affirming, and flexible." If your security is in Jesus, your house will stand strong. It is in spiritual unity that our footings, our foundation is built. That is what it takes to have a successful marriage. You may be two very different people, but God brought him into your life, ladies, because he is exactly who you need. God brought her into your life, gentlemen, because she is the best thing for you. God is not fooling around with your holiness or character formation. So marriage is God's idea, and God's ideas work best. Amen? Amen. Amen. May God bless you this morning.